The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, and welcome to Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin. Thank you for listening. We're having a little trouble today. I was scheduled with a guest, and at the very last minute, they had to cancel. Something came up. It happens. And when you're doing live radio, well, that's what you have to contend with. So today's show is entitled, Help! I Need Somebody. And now's your chance to be on live radio. So please call me with whatever might be on your mind, and we will talk about it. The number here is 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788, and we will get started with David from Houston. David, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mark, how's it going today?
Well, thanks for calling the show.
So the topic on my mind is the jail, the escape break in, I think it's upstate New York. The two guys that escaped from a maximum security prison and are out on the loose.
Yeah, and well, you know, they don't know maximum security prisons up there. They got to come to Texas to understand what a maximum security prison is really like.
Well, that may well be, but it is the news reports call it maximum security, and fortunately, I've never been in any kind of jail, so I can't distinguish one maximum security from the other. But I guess my question, Mark, is where's Tommy Lee Jones when you need him?
Well, I think he is in Texas. Doesn't he live in San Antonio?
Well, I'm not sure, but you know, this is a guy who I think in, was it two movies or three movies, he tracked down the fugitive, and then in another movie they tracked down a couple of guys, and he operated with a team, as I recall, there were three or four of them, and he managed to track down the escapees. And what I see on the news reports, that there are hundreds, if not in fact thousands, of officers out tracking these guys down. And it just, I mean, now I want to go from being facetious to being serious. I was, of course, being facetious about where's Tommy Lee Jones, but I do.
Well, David, I just have to ask you one question real quick. I mean, you do understand that that they're actors, right? That what they do on the screen.
I do understand they're actors, okay. And that's why I say I'm going from the facetious of where's Tommy Lee Jones for a quick, easy laugh to there's now reportedly, and we see on the news reports, several hundred officers combing the area, and it just makes me wonder how two guys who broke out of prison, who should have very limited resources once out, and I understand, you know, breakouts happen, but I am having trouble understanding how two guys on the run who you would think would have no resources, no extra clothing, no money, who are now being tracked for several days by bloodhounds, how they could be on the run for so many days. If they were on the run for 12 to 24 hours, I get that. But they're now, I think, going into their fifth or sixth day.
Well, first of all, in terms of money, they probably just have cigarettes that they're trading people for. So that probably covers that. But no, you're in all seriousness. Everything I've read seems that they have to have had significant help both inside and outside. And the inside person was coordinating with the people on the outside. Otherwise, you're right, it doesn't happen.
But Mark, I hear you as to sort of a theoretical approach, but by now the authorities would have traced every phone call, every contact. You know, if that person on the inside had called you, the police now would have had 14 guys show up in your living room. I just find it, again, I'm not in law enforcement. I'm also not in the business of prison breaks. But it just does seem an awful long time for two guys out on the lam for several days. And it is hard to imagine that they built up such a network that they could, through contacts inside the jail and outside, they could have planned such a detailed escape plan and route that involved logistics. And one thing, while I'm not a policeman, not in law enforcement, I'm not somebody who's familiar with jailbreaks, I do understand a little bit about logistics and travel, transportation, food, clothing. That you start involving a lot of people in that process, and that gets very, very difficult to maintain, to organize, maintain, keep up, and fund.
Yeah, I mean, they almost sound like they're part of the Duggar family, the way that they've been able to carry that thing out for, you know, keep it secret. So, I don't know much about them, and I haven't read in terms of what kind of guys they are, in terms of levels of intelligence and skills and all that. Do you know much about that?
The very little I've read is that one of the guys is supposed to be pretty smart, and is the alleged ringleader, which, you know, makes sense. Somebody's got to lead the expedition. But, Mark, I don't care how smart you are. You're in prison, you would think, with some limited ability to talk to folks on the outside. And who are you talking to on the outside that says, oh, listen, you're going to break out of jail, and what I want to do is I want to risk my life hiding you and moving you around. You're a convicted murderer, and I want to throw in with you for several days. Does that sound likely to you?
No, I don't. You know, you're right. I mean, what do other people have to gain?
You have no money to pay me. You actually want me to put up the money for a vehicle, transportation, lodging, food. And by the way, when I'm caught of aiding you in any way, I'm going to jail too.
Yeah, well, maybe there's other motivation. Maybe there's a blackmail or some other form of motivation, you know, involved.
You're right. I mean, the story is unique, and that's why I'm calling, is that it's difficult enough to imagine how they broke out. That is already a story in and of itself. But if you had told me they put that together somehow and they broke out and they were recaptured in 4, 5, 6 hours, I would say, well, then the story is how they broke out. They got recaptured quickly. We're now in our, I believe, fifth day that they've been out there. So now you have, in my opinion, you have almost two different stories. You have the breakout story that's hard enough to imagine, and you have how they're existing for 5 or 6 days out in the wilderness, or maybe by now they've gone to Canada. Although if they're in Canada, you would think the Canadian authorities would be joining the manhunt as well. So I think it's just interesting at all levels how they did it, how they planned it, how they're carrying it out, and how they're accomplishing all this.
Well, I'll either watch it on the news or wait for the made-for-TV movie, which will probably come out 3 months later.
Well, you and I should probably go into the production business of that.
Yeah, that works for me. we will see. David, thanks so much for calling.
You have a great day.
All right, thanks. All right. That's Jailbreak. I remember back in the 70s when I was a kid, there was a jailbreak of a famous kingpin, I think Joe Carrasco, and they was holding hostages and tried to get to some sort of car or vehicle or plane or something with mattresses, and they sprayed him with fire hoses, and that didn't work out for him, and he didn't quite make it to wherever he was trying to go. We've got Jonathan holding. But before actually we get to him, we got to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll get to our next caller. So stick around on Between the Sinners.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. We are back on Between the Synapse, and I hope you are as well. Today's show is Help, I Need Somebody. My guest canceled at the last minute, so I am desperately seeking callers because I had nothing. I had bupkis. And I appreciate the last caller, David, talking about jailbreaks. We were discussing the jailbreak in upstate New York, wondering where those guys are and how they did what they did. By the way, if you haven't checked out my blog, you can do so at BetweenTheSynapse.com. And there you can not only sign up to receive notices of future shows, but you can check out all previous 58 podcasts for Between the Synapse. And I sure hope you do. I think you will enjoy that. Finally, if you want to get on the radio today, you can do that. All you got to do is call 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788, and you can be on the radio. We've got Jonathan calling from Denver on the line. Jonathan, what's up?
Oh, well, the weather is finally improved in Denver, and so that's definitely a big plus. And I just thought I'd say one word before we get to the main point about the previous caller. I think we have to take into account that from what I was reading, that particular institution and institutions of maximum security had not had a successful jailbreak for many decades. And so people were, you know, doing their best, but they really thought it was just about impossible for them to get out. And it really was amazing that they did, and it seems unlikely they got out without help. And then it's a very thinly populated area with huge amounts of forest. It's really difficult terrain to be able to cover. And the other side seems smart. I mean, they seem to understand, unfortunately, that they need to try to stay off the grid. And that's something important. We can remember that Osama bin Laden went off the grid in Pakistan for years and evaded us, and even though he was near a military base. So these guys are unfortunately smart, and hopefully they're going to make some mistakes, and we're going to catch them.
You would think, unless a caller did say, you know, they get into Canada and, you know, I don't know, they make them citizens, but that's another story. So we'll see. So what's on your mind?
Well, I think what was very disturbing yesterday and didn't get a lot of attention was an article in the Center for Security Policy, which is a very reputable publication, saying that the Obama administration, with, as we know, June 30th facing for the fourth deadline on June 30th on the Iran nuclear deal, is now looking for ways, let me quote them, to remove non-nuclear sanctions, including sanctions related to proliferation of ballistic missiles and terror-related sanctions. I mean, this is an absolutely terrible way to go. I mean, it's bad enough that the leading Middle East countries, like Saudi Arabia, like the Emirates, like Israel, like Egypt, are not even represented with the P5+1 in the negotiations, and they're very angry about that. But now we hear that the administration wants to give even more to the Iranians. They're talking, and these are very important. Talk about proliferation of ballistic missiles for a minute. Everyone thinks about it in terms of the Middle East, where you don't need ICBMs, obviously. But what's dangerous is a New York Times report last year said that by 2020, within less than 5 years, the Iranians will have intercontinental ballistic missiles that could hit New York City or hit Washington, D.C. And to want to take off our sanctions with regards to that, and we know they're working together with the North Koreans, and this is 60-year-old technology that goes back to the 1950s, that's really disturbing on a practical level, that the United States mainland could be threatened within a short time. And the other is something that I think is just morally very repugnant, as well as practically, and that is that Iran has been sanctioned a number of times for being one of the leading supporters of international terrorism, going all the way back to what happened with the United States and Lebanon in the early 80s.
Hold on just 1 second, because I want to make sure I understand. How are the sanctions on the ICBMs related to the nuclear discussions and to the final accord that they still haven't worked out?
Well, basically, what we have here is a major mistake from the get-go, which is the administration has spent almost no time even talking about sanctions related to proliferation of ballistic missiles. But now it comes out that they're going to be able to, because the problem is you wouldn't build an ICBM unless you have nuclear weapons. You don't spend billions of dollars to deliver a civil payroll, a non-nuclear payroll. So I think so. What's happened now is that they're going one step further from just kind of ignoring it to actually delinking it. In other words, not only are they almost at the stage of having nuclear weapons, but even more important is their delivery capability. And that's what's very important here. In other words, these sanctions are very important overall. Even the administration people in back rooms are admitting that if Iran signs on to this deal and we give in all these other things, they're going to get a windfall of $100 to $150 billion within the first year. And if we add to that, that they can just proliferate ballistic missiles and go on with terror, which they've been condemned for in a number of UN resolutions, this essentially sends not only a powerful message to other countries around the world that they ought to be able to do this, like North Korea, for example, but it sends a powerful message in the Middle East, and you see things like the Saudis talking openly with the Israelis. They're really upset in the Middle East that the United States isn't playing its traditional role.
So is this... lifting of these sanctions, do you think it is kind of a side incentive on to get Iran to move towards the final accord on the nuclear deal?
You know,
why are they doing it now? What's the motivation?
For the exact reason that you just said. The Iranians have figured out that the administration, which has now blown through three deadlines and is now in the fourth, that the administration, which has even been attacked not only by many in the United States and in the Middle East, but by the French foreign minister just last week, is willing to give everything. Therefore, the Iranians are demanding everything. And the other thing that's amazing is that Iran is a weak country. If you take out their nuclear capability and their rockets, you're looking at a country with less than $5,000 GNP per capita, whereas the United States is at $57,000, and the Europeans are 40 to 50. So it's even more absurd that the United States is willing to make such massive concessions, not to someone like the Soviet Union in the 1970s, which is rational and would carry through what we're saying, but to a country that's actually very weak and very third world.
Well, it's
and
also
sending a powerful message. That's a very bad message.
Well, it's also hypocritical because one of the main guidelines of doing this deal from, you know, particularly the U.S. point of view, and really the P5 plus one as well, was that it was compartmentalized, meaning
right.
If they had sat down and tried to work out a deal and had other bucket issues come into play, meaning hostages, support for Iran, support for Hezbollah and Hamas, and terror around the world. If those issues had come into play while trying to work out this accord on Iran's development of nuclear technology, there'd been no deal. And
right.
I mean, even people who oppose it understand that because there was no way that Iran was going to be able to agree to anything if all those issues were part and parcel of a deal. There's going to be no global deal at this point, which I think people who were against it point to the reason that that's why there shouldn't be a deal. But putting that aside, it was compartmentalized. And they said, we're only focusing on the issues of the nuclear technology. And that's how they said they were able to get a deal, that they shut off everything else and only focused on that. And so now, you know, what you're saying is they have allowed extraneous issues become part of the negotiation as they try to reach the final accord, not just the framework agreement, which they worked out earlier. And so these issues, which are, you know, still continued support for Hezbollah and terrorist groups, and even things like the journalist who remains a hostage in Iran, those things are not on the table yet. You know, we are now, you know, making concessions on ICBMs.
And we're even making concessions on something else, which we didn't even mention, which is Iran, under the UN resolutions that have been passed over the years, is mandated, and this came out very clearly in what the P5 plus 1 did demand early on, to explain all of its nuclear activity. And now, there was an article the other day that they're not going to be made to do that. In other words, any nation sends a powerful, powerfully bad message, not just about Iran, but to other nations in the world that are aggressive, to say if you can violate everything that the United Nations resolution said for, and then the other side will come in and forgive you for that. And that is very bad in a world in which this is the ninth country to have nuclear weapons, and a number of other countries are definitely going to be moving towards it, because that's a powerful message, as well as they're terrified at the same time of what's happening in the Middle East.
All right, so do me a favor. Mm-hmm. Step into the shoes of those within the administration that are pushing this deal. Mm-hmm. And though I do disagree with them, I do believe that they believe that good will come out of this. I don't think that they're doing this because, they love Iran and they're trying to, harm the U.S. I think they think that this will ultimately bring more peace than less peace. So Can you run through what you believe is their thought process in terms of how that happens?
Yeah, I think there's several things that are important in their mind. First of all, the administration now has basically a year and a half to go, and they're looking for legacy. And they obviously are not getting it with Iraq or with Afghanistan as they thought they were. So I think this is the great legacy issue. It's the postmodernist notion. What they're basically arguing, and they've said it before openly, is that Iran has made some mistakes. It's gone off the beaten path. But if we will bring them into the, Brotherhood of Nations, basically, and we will give them a series of incentives, rational incentives, they will act rationally. And furthermore, that this will transform the decision-making process in Iran from one dominated by Islamic fundamentalists such as the Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, and rather that people like Rouhani and Javad Zarif, the foreign minister, will then come to power bolstered by this particular deal. So I think that's their core notion here. And the president has also said that Iran could play a very big role in the Middle East. And so what we are doing in Syria, for example, and in Iraq, is basically supporting Iranian-backed elements. And so looking at all of this together, that Iran will be flipped from becoming an enemy of the United States to becoming, if not neutral, even perhaps a friend to the United States out of gratitude for what the United States has done to bring them into the, the Brotherhood of Nations.
Right, but how do you deal with the Ayatollahs?
Well, first of all, the Ayatollah, let's take a look from the administration's alleged point of view, assume its point of view. The Grand Ayatollah is supposed to be very sick. They did show him in a hospital bed. There's talk about prostate cancer. Nobody knows if this is true or not, but there is some element of belief that he isn't going to be there much longer. Secondly, that there's the popularity of Rouhani and of Zarif, and backed also by people like Rafsanjani, that would be able to overcome the limits. In other words, their administration is arguing that the Grand Ayatollah's power is heavily because the rest of the world has been antagonistic to it. And therefore, if that changes, then the people who want the reform, like the people we've mentioned, are going to be able to come to power. I'm just saying what they seem to believe.
Right,
not a fan. Therefore, I'm not a fan of that idea, but I don't think it's right. But that, I believe, is what they think.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. And it does give some clarity in terms of where their heads are. But it's there's a lot of contingency involved. Well, Jonathan, listen, thanks for calling. Interesting and, I guess scary, subject in many ways. It's high risk, high reward, I think there are many people who don't buy in to the risk to the analysis that that high risk is worthwhile. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. Please call again.
Okay.
All right, we've got to take a break on Between the Synapse, and hopefully we'll be receiving some more calls on today's help. I need somebody, so stick around on Between the Synapse.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkgaard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at Between T Synapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. We are back on Between the Synapse, and I hope you are too. Today's episode is Help I Need Somebody. That's because my guest canceled at the last minute. Something more important apparently popped up, and I know you're asking yourself, what could be more important than appearing on Between the Synapse? But it happens. So, hey, when you're doing live radio, that's what you have to contend with. So, today is your chance to call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. The number here, as the lady just said, is 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. Please give the show a call. We've talked about so far the prison break in upstate New York, and we've talked about Iran, because we at Between the Synapse will talk about just about anything. This is a place to do it. It's interesting, and I get reports on where my listeners reside, and I guess it's no surprise that most of them do reside in the United States, but 5.5% of them are in Romania. I have I don't know, over 100 listeners in Romania. Unspecified cities within Romania. And, you know, that's great. That's great. And so if I don't, you know, I don't think that they're listening live, but maybe they are. So any Romanians out there who are listening live, please, please call the show. I'd love to know what your particular interests are. You know, it'd be great to hear from you. So, you know, so we've got people from all over, a lot of people from Germany, Cyprus, England, we've got the Philippines, Brazil, Austria, Morocco, Hong Kong, Mexico, Finland, Canada, sorry about the Canadian jokes, Austria, Norway, France, Korea, South Korea, Iran. Got one person from Iran. Hey, if you're listening today, love to hear your thoughts. Qatar. A couple listeners from Qatar. If there are any Qatarians, is that right? Qatarians? Please call in. I'd love to talk to you about FIFA. And if you think that you're going to be able to hold on to the World Cup in 2022, and what's going on with all the buildings of all those stadiums. So anyway, got people in Indonesia, Macau. They're probably in a casino. Sweden, Colombia. Anyway, so love to hear from any of you guys, including everybody from the United States. So a lot of listeners in Kansas. Interesting. Anyway, so as I said, give the call a show, 866-472-5788. So school year has ended pretty much everywhere by now. There may be a few schools here and there that are just finishing up. But a couple of interesting stories, end of year stories about coming out about schools. First, in Mississippi, you know how when you go to whatever, a graduation or an award ceremony or, you know, whatever, and the person always says, please hold your applause until everyone has been named, or until we have all students have received their diplomas, you know, something along those lines. And usually, you know, most people adhere to that. You know, occasionally some people kind of ignore it and clap a little bit, and, you know, just depends. Sometimes there'll be a smattering of applause for, you know, a certain kid, and it's kind of whatever, you know, and then every so often somebody, you know, particularly in a graduation setting, somebody crosses a stage and you'll hear some family member shout out something, and all of a sudden you like look over and like, oh, who yelled that? And you move on. It's not the biggest deal in the world. It's not like, you know, if you have a kid there and, you know, you don't do it, but somebody else does, that, oh, you know, my kid didn't get the right recognition and somebody other kid did because their family was yelling and screaming. You know, kind of who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. a Mississippi school superintendent pressed charges against four family members of a graduate for making a public disturbance when one of them yelled out an utterance of something like, I don't know, what was it? You know, love you, baby, or something along those lines, when his daughter crossed the stage at graduation. And this was after it was made clear, I guess, both verbally and in an email, that there would be no applause or other kinds of recognition for the graduates until all of them had crossed the stage. Well, the superintendent Jay Foster really was pissed off about this, and he took it to the extent that he filed criminal charges against these people for their cheering against at the ceremony a couple weeks. He swore out warrants for disturbing the peace for their quote, you know, boisterous reaction. Now, I just read an article that those charges were eventually dropped. But the fact that he filed charges in the first place is completely, completely ridiculous. Now, you know, he said that he hoped the warrants will serve as deterrents at future ceremonies. You know, the only thing that I think it should serve as a deterrent is for anybody to hire this guy for a job in the future. This is not something that we need to be criminalizing. There are other ways to do it. They were right to ask them to leave the ceremony if, you know, it was that strictly enforced. You know, I didn't think that would be necessary, but if that's what they wanted to do, okay. But to go and file criminal charges, that is absolutely ridiculous. And it is just another example of trying to criminalize, behavior that is, one step towards, some form of a police state. There are ways to get people to behave in certain ways, but criminalizing these forms of behavior is not it. We've got to take another break, and when we do, we will actually, I've got one more story I want to share with you about an issue with testing that happened here in Texas, but I will do that in just a couple minutes, so stick around on Between the Synapse.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said, "All at last, return to the sea. to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end.
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so we are back. Final segment of Between the Synapse. And the show that I have entitled, Help! I Need Somebody. Because as I said earlier, my guest had to cancel at the last minute. Yes, they did have a very good reason, and that left me kind of high and dry. So I've been taking some calls, and do appreciate David and Jonathan for calling early in the show. We still have a little bit of time if you so choose to get in on the discussion, as is the catchphrase, I guess, on these talk shows. 866-472-5788, but you better call quickly, 866-472-5788. So, as I said earlier, talking about some end-of-year educational stories. So here in Texas, you know, like a lot of states, they require these promotion end-of-year state exams. You know, you got to, students have to pass them in order to go on to the next grade. They recently changed the names of them, and I don't know what they call them now, but they used to be called pass tests. Now they're called something different. But anyway, so state exams taken by more than 2,300 fifth and eighth graders in the Houston Independent School District are missing. So they were lost in transit. The answer sheets appeared to have been lost in transit via the United Parcel Service after a box got damaged en route to the testing company in Austin. This according to Houston Independent School District officials and the Texas Education Agency. "I think everyone's frantically looking," state agency spokeswoman Debbie Ratcliffe said. "We're discussing options about what to do next. It's really unusual for something like this to happen." I'll say, I don't understand. So the box, the answer sheets are in a box, and the box gets put into a truck, a UPS truck. And so the box got damaged. But what happened to the sheets? You know what I'm saying? It's like, wouldn't they still be in the truck if the box got damaged? I mean, they would have to go somewhere. So I don't really understand, you know, exactly what happened, you know, unless they just like flew out of the truck. But like, wouldn't there still be some of them in the truck? And if there were 2,300 of them? Anyway, okay, let's put that aside. Let's just okay, so they are gone. These were the tests, to make matters worse. These missing were retests of fifth and eighth graders who failed or were absent for the first administration of the reading exam. And these tests carry significant weight. They're intended to be used to calculate school accountability ratings and decide whether students in fifth and eighth grade advance automatically to the next grade level. The spokesman for HISD said the district will not necessarily require every student whose answer sheet is missing to retake the reading exam during the third administration in the third week of June. Instead, she said the roughly 1,400 students who meet the other promotion requirements will go before a committee that will decide whether they can advance to the next grade without attending summer school and retaking the tests. The students who also failed a class or fell short of other promotion standards will be told to retake the retest. Did I read that right? Will be told to take the retest before the committee decides whether they can advance. Those students likely are attending summer school already. Okay. But here's my favorite quote. "Our priority is always the students," Huffman said. "We don't feel like any student should be penalized as a result of this." Really? So, the 1,400 students who have to go before the committee to decide whether they can advance without attending summer school and retaking the test, or the people who are already having to attend summer school or already going to retake the test, which part are those people who are not being penalized? Plus, I don't know, I would assume that the further out you are from school, perhaps it's a little harder to retain some of this stuff. HISD officials were contacting families this week. This was actually last week. However, convening the special committees called grade placement committees before the June 23rd test date may be a struggle with students dismissed for summer vacation and travel plans in the works. Really, the plot thickens. Okay. The agency staff had not decided what to require regarding retesting and accountability ratings. They've not reached their final agreement as of yet. And here's the saddest part. HISD's school accountability ratings could suffer without scores from the retest. The reading exam has proven to be difficult, with only 68% of HISD eighth graders passing the exam on the first try this year. Yeah, I don't know which part of this is sadder. Here's something that also may be enlightening. The district had shipped four boxes of materials around May 15th from its central material center. Three arrived intact, but one had partial content, likely because the box broke. The box appeared to have been retaped, and some contents were in an envelope. There's no quote here from UPS. Wonder what they have to say about it. Well, hey, you kids, you have a great summer. Don't worry. You've already gone through fifth or eighth grade once. Second time should be a lot easier. Look, next time, you may want to use FedEx. It's just a life lesson for you. 68% pass rate on reading for HISD, which, by the way, is it's not the biggest school district in the country. It's certainly one of the top three, something along those lines. But still, that's no bueno, as we say down here. All right. Well, this has been fun. I want to thank once again David and Jonathan for two great calls. I hope they catch those guys, David, and I hope they catch them soon. And if not, you know, maybe we do need an actor involved, and we'll see what we can do. Just go on to San Antonio and grab the Marshall. Anyway, thanks for listening. Check out the podcast on BetweenTheSynapse.com. I want to thank the folks at Voice America. Thank my producer, Winston Price. And you guys have a great week. I'll speak to you next week, same day, same time. And I am out of here. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.